merely an option for alcoholics living in Manhattan. Have you seen the size of John Bush's apartment? It's a bit smaller than a glove compartment. For all my friends in New York. The next 10 rounds are on me. New Yorkers have the most familiar faces, and they do their drugs in the most public places. Every weekend old friend shows up surprised and wants my friends to stay up for the sunrise. Hello, Mads, Johnny, John, Omar. Hello, son, goodbye, Niagara Bar. How many times can you listen to Blondie? The Clash, the Ramones, and that Strokes song. How many people can we fit in a bathroom? That Ryan Adams guy is fucking crazy. To be Brian and Jimmy G. The next 10 lines are on me.
All right, I got some errands to run, so let's listen to some music while I do that. Right now, I'm on my way to the laundromat. Going to do some laundry. Very exciting. I'm on the cutting edge of podcasting. So today's show is going to be all about NoFX. Can't remember what got me back on the NoFX thing. Something recently in the show, anyway. It just got me listening to NoFX again and remembering how much I like NoFX. So this band's been around for like 25 years. It was a long ass time for a punk band to be around and still like relevant, and still when they put out a new album it's all over the Virgin Megastore. And I only got into this band, started in 1983, and then they started getting good in the early 90s, and I got into them in like 96. So I'm going to start more or less around where I got into them. But first, we'll go back a bit. I'm going to start off with a weird one. This is actually Rancid doing a cover of NoFX. It's this song, Sticking in My Eye, that's one of the best NoFX songs from back in the day. And, yeah, they did this split album where NoFX did a bunch of Rancid songs. Rancid did a bunch of NoFX. So let's listen to that and kick things off, because here I am. At the laundromat, sticking in my eye, Rancid.
Sticking in my eye.
got my laundry in. Now I'm going to go do some other shit. So, yeah, NoFX really started picking up steam with Punk and Drublick and White Trash, Two Heebs and a Bean. But that was before I started listening to them. So, I mean, I know all those songs and stuff, but they don't have as much of a connection to me. Because I don't think I ever actually had the albums. I did have S&M Airlines. That's one of their older albums also, and I never really got that into it. So pretty much the 80s is a wash for me with NoFX. Then the early 90s was when they really started getting good. And I think it was Punk and Drublick that was like their big album. Sold way more copies than all the rest of their stuff. But they're totally one of those bands that, I mean, I guess they had some videos, but they didn't really get played much, and they're not on a major label. They were on Epitaph forever, and now they're on their own Fat Records. Fat Mike, the lead singer, his record label. And, yeah, they're just a fucking cool band, and they've just done really good, done really well. And, I don't know, it's a good example, I think, of how to be a band, like how to, well, they'll get into this a bit in some of the songs we're going to play later, but just to not put up with record company bullshit, not to get fucked over, just to carve out your own niche and, you know, you don't explode and then fade away, you really last. It helps that they're part of this little punk subgenre too, kind of a built-in crowd in a way. I'll blab about that a little bit more right after this. This is another one of their older songs. It's called Fleas. And I like this song. It's cool. That one's pretty old. That's where Fat Mike still got a kind of a real nasally voice. It was even more so way back in the super old stuff. He kind of became like a better singer as time went on. Kind of more of a competent band in a way. But then they kind of fought against that too. I'll get into that later too. But yeah, as much as I really like the whole punk ideals of doing it yourself and, you know, making your own way and not relying on a normal society structure to build the kind of life that you want, I don't really listen to that much punk music, even though I really like it. I like the fundamentals of it, but part of it is that if you listen to, like, old punk shit from the, like, late 70s, it's really weird and it doesn't seem like punk because it really was more of just a social movement than a musical movement. And it wasn't until it died and went underground for the 80s that, like, 80s punk, that's when, like, hardcore pretty much is what kept punk alive throughout that whole decade, but until there was the big punk revival in the mid-90s after the grunge thing. And then there was Offspring, Green Day, all that. But, yeah, what bridged the gap in between were all these, like, hardcore bands who, you know, that's when the sound, like, the stereotypical sound of punk really solidified. And that's when you really, you know, it's like you're with us or you're against us. It was incredibly conservative and dogmatic. and fucking cool, I thought. In a lot of ways, that's like my favorite punk. That's when you had like bands like Black Flag, who were actually really, didn't really stick to the hardcore for very long. They really branched out into a lot of weird different stuff. But like forging their own paths, you know, like booking their own tours, setting up all their own stuff, promoting themselves, like totally indie, totally DIY. And they didn't have no fucking MySpace and horseshit like that. Like, it really must have been tough. It's really impressive to read about those bands. And NoFX was kind of sort of one of those bands. They didn't really have a lot of effect, I don't think, back in the 80s. But yeah, that's one reason why I don't really listen to that many punk bands, is that what punk means now really is, it's a narrower idea. So it gets old kind of fast. And it's all splintered off now anyway. I mean, after that mid-90s revival, now it's all, you know, weird goth shit and emo stuff and pop punk, and there's all kinds of different shades and colors because it had to grow into different things. None of which I think are as good, but, you know, gotta keep the ball rolling. All right, I'm kind of rambling. Let's just play another song. So this is the first NoFX album I ever heard. This is from Heavy Petting Zoo. This song is called Bleeding Heart Disease.
Don't wanna mind to live for rain, just a crazy Aussie me.
So I don't really know what you'd call the style of NoFX. They're not really a hardcore band. And I remember I read somewhere that early on when they first started with Epitaph, it's when Bad Religion really started getting big. And one of the Bad Religion guys runs that record label and he produced the album. So he was pushing for them to do like the three-part harmonies the way the way Bad Religion does, and they didn't want to. But what they do is not like miles away from Bad Religion. It's still very, you know, they still got harmonies. They still got a lot of catchy shit in their songs. You know, they're not scared to throw in some na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na's. But whatever it is they do, even though it's definitely rooted in, you know, it's, there's no question that they're a punk band. There's like something about the way Fat Mike writes songs that, I don't know, it's just something unique. Something he's got where I don't know enough music theory to be able to explain it, but just the way his songs move and progress and the way one sound leads into another just doesn't sound the same as anybody else to me. I'm sure if you guys never heard NoFX before and you're listening to these guys for the first time here, you're going to be like, eh, you know, I don't know. It's just 4/4 punk shit. But there's definitely something about these guys that really stands out to me. So this album, Heavy Petting Zoo, I found out later, was when they were starting to get a little bored of normal punk. And they had just sold a ball load of albums with Punk and Drublic, so they were like stretching a little bit. And it had some weird stuff. It had like xylophones, and so they started throwing in like just other, just weird instruments and stuff. And then the album didn't sell as well, and they said they kind of regretted it a little. But it was a really cool album. It was my cousin Dan who introduced this to me. He introduced a lot of good bands to me. And I remember he had, I think it was the cassette. And he lent it to me. And it's the same thing as when I first started listening to The Offspring. I didn't know this was punk, you know? I just knew it was music. I just knew it was catchy. I knew I liked it. I didn't know what to call it. And, yeah, this album really sunk in a lot. I mean, it's, I don't know if you can really make any real argument that Heavy Petting Zoo is their best album, but it's still my favorite of their albums just because it's the first one I heard and it's the one I listened to the most and the one that really sunk in on me. And it was one of the first bands that, I mean, like The Offspring, when I first started listening to them, nobody really knew who they were, but they went on to sell like 10 million copies of Smash. And pretty much everything I listened to was Stone Temple Pilots, Pearl Jam, Smashing Pumpkins. You know, I wasn't straying too far from the source. And NoFX was one of the first bands I remember listening to that like, other people didn't know who they were. So I'd like play them a song on the tape. Like this next song I'm going to play, it's like 1 minute long and it's so fucking awesome. This was the song I liked playing for people. And there's always this balance, especially when you're as big a music nerd as me, of like, seems like I know a lot about music, but to me it's like music trivia is just so effortless to remember. It's like in my head it's like this huge expanse, this empty expanse of just waiting to be filled up, you know, like things I'm not interested in, like say I wanted to learn facts about Barbie dolls, you know, it's like this little teeny compartment box, maybe I'll remember one or two things and then I just don't care anymore. But music is like boom, like I could never know enough. There's no way I could ever know enough. But yet there's still lots of bands I don't know, you know? Like, it's easy to be a crazy music hipster who just listens to weird, obscure shit that no one else has ever heard of. And, if anything, I always feel like I kind of don't stray far enough that way. It seems to me like my musical tastes are kind of pedestrian, but then that's kind of like a trick of your mind, too, where it's only once I, you know, if I don't know a band, then it's this new, weird, mysterious band. But as soon as I know of the band, then it just gets put into its compartment in my vast repertoire of music knowledge, and suddenly it's not an unusual band. It's not hard to find out about. It's not, you know, it seems sort of mundane and normal. So I probably know all kinds of weird, obscure bands that just don't seem weird and obscure to me. So I feel like I'm a mainstream guy when probably that's not true. I don't know. Anyway, I'm babbling an awful lot for a 1 minute song. Let's just play that 1 minute song and then I'll try to remember what the fuck I was talking about.
you're going to church. The guests will in the speak and articulate. They show each other respect. They have a light, they have smoke, a big room. They write, they study hard at our school. There's something wrong with the kids in my neighborhood.
See, that song is a really good example of... That was like my favorite song of that album, and just something about like the chord progressions or whatever the fuck you call it, you know, just something about the tone changes in that song. It's just so Fat Mike, like nobody else does it like that guy does, and no one else can pull that off. Which got weird later on when I started getting less into the more recent albums, because it would still have these little things where I'm like, ah, I should really, that's the thing, that's the thing he does, that's the sound that I like so much. Then why isn't it working anymore? But I'll get into that when we get into the later albums. So I was going to say, as far as... like I said, this is one of the first bands that I started listening to that other people didn't know. Because it was like this whole mid-90s skate punk scene that my cousin was big into. These guys in like SNFU, Bad Religion, I guess. And really NoFX, it's like... I used to think of the Misfits as like the perfect kind of template for a band that everybody knows and is really successful. You see that Crimson Ghost everywhere. I got a wallet with a fucking Misfits logo on it. And yet they've never been huge. They've never, you know, had a giant hit. They just have their fan base and that's what they stick with. And it's enough to go on for... you know, a couple decades. But the Misfits, they took this huge hiatus in the middle. They had different singers and stuff. They're really not as good of an example as NoFX. NoFX is, like, if I could be in a band, this would be the one. It's like, do you want to be a polished, bullshitty fucking pop star? Or do you really want to be in a band? Do you want to be in a touring band for your whole life? Like I said, these guys have been around for 25 years. And, I mean, that just doesn't happen in the normal music industry. Either you explode and you're fucking the Rolling Stones, or you go away. But these guys have this like perfect level. And since they might not sell as many records as these other guys, but over the whole course of their career, they've sold like 6 million albums. They all got fancy pants houses, you know? They own their own record label. They own their own everything. So their cut is way, way better than everyone else's. They have this song. Maybe I'll play it. I didn't have it in my playlist. Anyway, it's called Dinosaurs Will Die. About, like, fuck the record industry. Thank God it's finally going down. It was some bullshit. Basically, it's like the record industry. To me, it seems like it's just a bank with a really bad interest rate. And you gotta listen to a bunch of jerks give you dumb advice about your music. I mean, it was handy in the day when everything was in record stores. You needed the distribution channels, but, well, you don't. You never did need them, but you needed them a lot more than now. Now you fucking don't. Anyway, I really liked this NoFX album, but I wouldn't say I became like a giant NoFX convert or anything. I just liked it. So I was just at the used record store in my hometown, flipping through shit, and I saw their next album. It's called So Long and Thanks for All the Shoes. Because people used to throw shoes at them at shows a lot. It came out in 97. I'm not sure how long it had been out when I got it, but long enough for someone to get tired of it and sell it, I guess. And here is, speaking of what I was saying about like how 80s hardcore punk was really dogmatic and had distinct rules you had to follow. The song's called It's My Job to Keep Punk Rock Elite. And this kind of touches on a bit of the stuff we were talking about of like... being like an honest band, you know, not just full of shit, not just corporate-y bullshit. Plus, it's just a really fucking catchy song.
Rumors blown are true.
Yeah, NoFX had, you know, they'd be the kind of band in their liner notes in the mid-90s. KMFDM did this a bit too, but I remember just like shit like, you know, hey, major labels, fucking leave us alone. MTV, fuck you, we don't need you. Major radio, why don't you suck my cock? Like, we don't need you and we don't want you. Which is, it's just fucking cool, man. I don't know what else to say about that. That's just cool. So, my friend Matt, I was going through, I used to have in my room back at my parents' house, this was like, well, 97, I would just got out of high school. I still lived at home for another couple of years after that. And up in my room, I had like a drawer from a dresser, just like sitting on top of a table, and it was full, or on top of an old stove that didn't work anymore. Anyway, it was full of CDs, just packed full. I ended up filling the whole thing until there was no more room. And Matt was looking through my stuff and saw the two, because by then I had a CD of Heavy Petting Zoo also, saw the two NoFX CDs and was like, hey, what's this band? Are they any good? And I was like, yeah, man, they're all right. And I always think back to that. It's funny how I was just sort of so nonplussed about it. Like, you know, yeah, they're definitely good. Check it out. Because Matt became a massive NoFX fan, like crazy huge. I remember, like, Matt would kind of go through phases where first it was Soundgarden, and then Rage Against the Machine, and then NoFX, and then Modest Mouse, and then I kind of moved away, so I didn't get to follow the rest of his progression. Modest Mouse was the big one, though. But all of them, like, we would just listen to those bands like crazy everywhere we went, driving around, just like NoFX, 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 like crazy all the time. And like his love for NoFX like cemented my love for NoFX, made me realize how good they really are. And like, even though I always liked them, I like got to really like them by having Jesus, it's pretty windy. I hope this isn't fucking up my recording. But by having Matt's enthusiasm. So let's play one more song off that album. This is kind of a weird song called Falling in Love. That is another just weird tone changes. I don't know how to explain it. I love how Fat Mike fucking does this shit. And it's just weird because it's almost like, seems like no one else even can do it. I've never even heard another band like try to rip off the NoFX style. I mean, within this little prism of punk music, it does some really cool shit. So this is a bit of an odd song, Falling in Love, from So Long and Thanks for All the Shoes. So after that album, that's when NoFX in 99 put out the greatest thing they've ever done. If they, is this EP is called The Decline. It was an 18-minute punk song. And if they had all just fucking died in a plane crash like the day after that thing was done, it would have been a nice fucking legacy for them. I remember when it came out, Matt went and bought it, and when he very first got it, you know, he tossed it in the CD player. Like, the labeling on the CD didn't really make it totally clear what it is. Just NoFX, The Decline, new thing. So he put it in and saw there's only one track, and he's like, what the fuck? That's some bullshit. But that turned out to be like the greatest fucking thing ever, man. Oh, it's such a good fucking song. Crazy good. I played it once before. Ham radio, I don't know, in the 20s somewhere. As a joke, I played it as the very first song on the show, even though it's 18 minutes long. And, yeah, like I remember we had a mix CD, a NoFX mix CD in Matt's car. And, you know, these songs are really short, so you could fit a fucking ball load of songs on a CD. And he put the decline on. Even with the decline, there was like 30, 35 songs on there. And it was just funny because we would have it on random and be like, yeah, I don't really want to hear that song. Not really in the mood for that one, you know, skip around a little bit. But anytime the decline started, we never skipped it. It's like effortless to listen to this song, and it's like 18 minutes long. Like, I'm just going to play a clip of it here. If you want to hear the whole thing, you can go to the old ham radio or go download it. Or, God forbid, you could buy it, but please, who does that? And, yeah, so I was like, okay, I'll just isolate a little clip. I'll just play like 2 or 3 minutes. And my first attempt to edit it down is still 8 minutes long, because I'm like, oh, man, this has got to be the best part. Oh, but then that goes into this part, and then this part goes to that part. And, like, so crazy that a song could be this good when it's this long. Because it's not, you know, just some lazy-ass, grooved-out instrumental. It's a fucking punk song. I mean, it's probably more like a fucking 30-minute song because it's going double speed the whole time. Ah, so good. Just crazy. They said it was a nightmare to record this thing, though. They had to do it in pieces and went back to do, like, overdubs and stuff. And just, like, a massive amount of work. He said he's never going to do it again. But it just turned out so cool. And, I mean, NoFX always, like, they'd have a lot of funny songs, and then they'd have a lot of, or they'd start to more and more become, like, more of a socially aware sort of political band. And this was a big step in that direction. But just excellent, man. So fucking good. Listening to the Klein right now, and I just like, I'm gonna edit it down for the show just to keep it in line with all the rest of these short songs, but How do you cut this song, man? How do you stop listening to it? So good. If I was going to recommend anything in the history of ham radio that you should totally go get the torrent for, it's The Decline by NOFX. So it seems like, I don't know, doing the decline, it's like forge the fucking steel. Like, there did seem to be a sort of, like, a competence, like a professionalism that came to the band around this point that I think has helped them in the latter day years. Even when the albums got a little less interesting to me, they still sold really, really well, and they're still really popular. And I think it kind of helped with this. I mean, they're always a very catchy band, but this, you know, it was a real sway toward poppier music in the, I don't know, if I was on the tail end of Generation X, and then there was Generation Y, so I don't know what this is. Generation Emo, who are a bunch of fucking pussies, which is, of course, what everyone says about the generation that comes after them. But, let me just stop for a sec. That's one thing I thought was interesting about the whole, an explanation for the whole emo phenomenon, where, like, the original punks were rebelling against, like, hippies, you know? So it's like, let's do the opposite. Let's be fucking oi, oi, oi. So if you're rebelling against a tough-ass fucking generation of punks, what do? You become a faggy emo who kisses other boys at shows so girls will like you, and you cry and cut yourself. And I thought that was funny. That's kind of interesting. It's not a bad explanation. Anyway, as NOFX started getting just kind of inevitably better at what they did, they would do stuff sometimes to try to fight against it. Like they would record little EPs or 7-inch vinyls and stuff, where they would just, Fat Mike would write a song, he'd teach it to everybody, and then they'd just play it 2 or 3 times till they got it right. So they did not have it locked in, you know, it's like still pretty sloppy. Sometimes they'd fuck it up a little and still use that version, just to kind of get them back to their roots of just being a punk band that didn't give a fuck. They just put out a live album I'm going to play some of at the end of the show, where they recorded for like 3 or 4 days, and they got successively drunker every single day, and that's the show that they used, was, you know, the last one or the third one in, when they were kind of fucking things up. And it's kind of interesting to hear Fat Mike on that CD, where, I mean, he's playing songs that he knows because he's played them a fucking million times, but he's like stumbling over words, he's not quite hitting at the right time, everything is a little bit off because he's drunk as shit. And it's interesting, man. I mean, it's still really good. It's kind of better in a way. It's nice to get a live album that doesn't just sound like, I don't know, have you ever heard a Pearl Jam live album? Probably you have, because there's 60,000 of them, and they're so fucking boring, man. They're the worst. It's just like, hey, here's Pearl Jam playing Daughter again. Who needs that? Who gives a fuck? NOFX has got a way better live mentality. Just tons of weird banter and witty shit and fucking things up and doing alternate versions of songs. Anyway, after The Decline, they put out an album called Pump Up the Valium. And this was the last album I was like way, way still fully into. We got it early too, because everyone was still buying CDs back then, year 2000 or so. And that same record store where I got So Long Thanks for All the Shoes, Eric runs it. Backstreet Records of Fredericton. He had some advance copies, and he wasn't supposed to sell them to us, you know, for like another 3 or 4 days, but he did. So we had the NoFX album before other people. If it was the internet age, I mean, there was the internet, but if it was the modern internet age, we could have been the ones like leaking that shit up on the internet, and people could have had their torrents like, you know, a few days early. But instead, we just bombed around Fredericton, each with our own copies, rocking out. So this very first, well, I guess it's not the first song, second song on the album, is a little intro. This is called Take Two Placebos and Call Me Lame. And I mean, like I said, nothing tops The Decline. I mean, The Decline is like, wow. But this is also a really fucking good song. I mean, now we're back to just them doing 2.5 minute punk songs. But yeah, I always really like this song. Yeah, to the non-NoFX initiated, or people that just don't listen to punk music a lot, at this point you're probably starting to think to yourself, like, all these songs sound the fucking same. And I get what you mean, but trust me, if you listen to these things a few times through and they start to sink in and you start to, you know, be able to recognize one from the other, these are some fine fucking tunes. So I was saying there was a song off this album called Dinosaurs Will Die about the big record labels crashing and burning, which is a cool song, but I'm not going to play that one. Feel free to go look it up, though. I'm going to play another song that a lot of NoFX songs kind of cover this territory. Not a lot, but quite a few of the ones I'm playing anyway. This one, it's from these sessions. It's an outtake from this album. And it's a song called Lower. And I always like this song, too. I mean, I've kind of taken this alternative fucking path in life where I didn't go to school, I didn't get my little diplomas, I didn't do my whatever, LSATs, whatever you guys call that shit. And, you know, maybe I should have. Certainly hasn't necessarily made life easier. I was just reading a thing, though, the other day about, it's like this little comic a guy drew about how to get your life in order and stop being a douche. And part of it was he was talking about monkey theory, how we all, since we all come from monkeys, there's basically the three kinds of of male monkeys. There's the little baby monkeys, there's the adult monkeys, and then there's the weird scavenger monkeys who live on the outskirts of the society, give everyone the finger and pretend they've been wronged. And
a scavenger type.
The outsider monkeys. I don't know how else to call them. Scavenging on the edges of the society. And in a way, I mean, if I had to pick, I'd say I'm a scavenger monkey. I'm on the outskirts, there's no question about that. But I'm only on the outskirts, I mean, if you just take it for granted. Like, when I was first, like, early high school years, I just took it for granted. Like, oh, I guess I'm going to go to school. Guess I'm going to become a lawyer or something. Guess I'm going to be fucking miserable my whole life. And sure, I'd have a house and a car and be able to pay for some kids and stuff. But it was a huge relief to me when I realized I didn't actually have to do that, that there's this whole other side to life where people, you know, aren't just poor because they're failures. They're poor because they just, that's not the life they want. They don't want to just fucking sacrifice everything to be successful. Like, I think of the woman that Ayn works for. She's a, Ayn's like a paralegal, and there's a, she's this really high-powered, pretty high-powered, I don't know, celebrity fucking clients and shit, lawyer. And she's got all kinds of money, but she's, you know, all fucking neurotic and crazy and never has time to spend with her kids and just hires nannies and fucking buys $2,000 shoes and purses and stuff and then returns them and buys new ones and just dumb shit, just wastes money. And just, that's your life. Your life is in fucking slavery to other people, basically. I mean, obviously there's a lot of benefits. I think I could do that shit, you know? I could. There's no reason why not. You just go to school, you get the fucking certification, you jump through the same hoops everybody else did. I could be one of these people. Or would have been easier if I started 10 years ago, but yeah, that's your life. Your whole life is sitting in this fucking office, dealing with these clients, being at their beck and call. Like, just because it's a high-paid job doesn't mean it's not a fucking leash around your neck. And I don't want to do that. I would way rather be poorer and settle with less physical material shit and be able to do stuff that's actually interesting to me. Things that I find stimulating in life. And I don't know. It's not an easy row to hoe as I'm getting older and you know, not exactly getting more successful. I don't know. I mean, it's like both sides are tough options. Let's just put it that way. But I'm okay with the side that I picked, and I really don't think it is a lesser decision. And this song is about that. It's about how lower, you know, I'm always going to be lower than you. I'm not going to be the big high-powered fucking motherfucker. That's not who I want to be, and that's fine. That's me. That's what I chose. And there's a line in this, too, about how if he does rise to the top, it's going to be real slow because he's going to bring everyone he knows along with him. And it won't be to the top, obviously. And that reminds me of, like, I always really liked how Tom Green, when Tom Green really hit it big. I mean, always, right from the start, Tom Green used to do, like, a radio show with that was, like, after Glenn Humplick's show on some Ottawa radio station. And then they kind of combined. One show spilled into the other until it just became the two of them together. And then on the Tom Green show, you know, fucking Glenn was there, and Derek Harvey was his writer. They were friends for years. And his friend Phil Giroux, who I heard, Phil Giroux, do the laugh you do. He's the guy who would just sit there drinking in the background and laugh on the Tom Green show. I heard Julian from the Trailer Park Boys is based on that guy. I don't know if that's true. But then, so Tom Green on his show in Canada had all of his friends with him. And then when he went to MTV, he brought everybody along with him. And as I understand it, I think, I don't know, Glenn and Tom had some kind of falling out. From what I could gather from online shit, I think Glenn actually got like some kind of restraining order against Tom. It's kind of brutal. Anyway, so it can't last forever. But I always really respected how Tom Green stuck with all his pals, because that's what I would do. And that's what this song is about. Such a cool song. There's another song I'm going to play later called Leaving Jesus Land that's kind of like that too. Just songs that kind of just get me nice and deep in. Something fundamental in my being gets so I can resonate with that. So then in, I think, 2003, they put out an album called War on Errorism. And I still bought the CD right away. Because I didn't know I was tired of NoFX. I don't think I am. I don't think I was. Like, I don't know. It's hard to explain because it's not like this album is so different. And I just re-listened to the whole thing the other day. And it's really not that, it's not that bad. It's really a pretty good album. And it's definitely a NoFX album. But just something about this album just did not click with me. I don't know how to explain it. NoFX always makes jokes about how they're derivative and lazy. But this was the first time they really felt derivative and lazy to me. The very first song on it, though, well, it's funny, on their last, the first song is called Separation of Church and Skate, and it's about how punk shows are full of pussies these days, how kids are wusses, used to live for beer and speed, now they want the fries and coke. But I just played it a few shows ago, one of those shows where it was just me and I talking about stuff, and I tossed in random songs. So feel free to go look that up. It's a really good song. But it's a little too soon to play it again. But on their live album... Ah, fuck it. You know what? I will play it, because this is a good excuse. I'm going to go on their... No, never mind. I thought this was on... I'm getting my live albums confused. They just put out a new live album last year. But what I'm thinking of is I downloaded a live show they played in Germany that was kind of shitty quality. Too shitty for me to play on the show. But... before they played this song, they were like, hey, you know, hey, we got this new album out. Everybody buy it? Nah, probably not, right? I mean, we got like 12, 13 albums. How good could this new one be, right? Let's not bother. It's only got one good song anyway, right? This first song. This is the only good one. And they were obviously just joking around, but I really thought it was by far the best song on that album. Fuck it, man. Why do I do that? Why am I like, oh, I shouldn't play it. I should follow these stupid rules that I made up. what I can play and what I can't play. Yes, I will play Separation of Church and State right now. Because it's a really good fucking song. Who cares if I play it a million times? I could play it every fucking show. It's good.
This is the best song on our brand new CD, The War on Errorism. It is the first song. This song's the first song on our new album. It's the only good song. Buy the album just because the first song is so fucking good.
Hey, kids.
Hey, Dad.
What do you want to do today?
I don't know.
Do you want to go to the matinee?
No.
Do you want to go to the amusement park?
No.
Do you want to go to the punk rock show?
Yeah.
This song that, I don't know, this is a weird song. This song, I really don't think is up to the caliber of the other stuff on the show. But this song really got stuck in my head. It's called Mediocre, about hardcore bands being boring and derivative and lame. And it's kind of, it almost seems weird for NOFX to do a song about that because, you know, it's not like, generally speaking, NOFX is like fucking breaking down the walls. But I just really like this song, just about how super regimented hardcore music got to the point now where either you're not doing it right, so you can't be part of the hardcore gang, or you are doing it right, and it's just, we've been listening to this since 1981, you know? It's like, okay, I get it. It's all the same.
Not forsaken, the music they're making will leave you with a feeling of indifference. How was the band? They were okay, not great, but pretty good.
mediocre.
So again, if you don't know NoFX, that song, Mediocre, might have sounded a little odd, because I've been basically playing the hard and fast, straight-ahead punk songs, and that one's kind of got a weird swing to it, but NoFX really does have a pretty long history of songs like that. I just haven't played any of them. But, yeah, like little acoustic songs or like dub reggae, a little bit of ska-type stuff. And this next song kind of falls into that category. This is the very last song on War on Errorism. And I like it a lot, too. It's called Whoops, I OD'd.
Whoops, I OD'd. Shortness of breath. My Wi-Fi error in judge. Man cut my life. No second chance. No guiding light. I never meant to cause you pain. I never thought I'd be the one who took the fall. I got lost in the moment. Assholes like to test the limit. 6 minutes down. Breathing machine. Brain not feel right. The look on you. Killing me, drowning in shame, but don't feel bad, 'cause I never feared consequences, hate regrets more than apologies. Of old friends and friends.
faded memories. Looks like I pulled the rug from under myself. The fall's too much for me to recover from. It's been real fun, but now I must say goodbye. I'll see you all at Okie Dogs. See you all at Okie Dogs.
You know, that's something else I haven't mentioned. Didn't really occur to me till listening to that song. Is another thing I like about Fat Mike, it's not just his musical styles. He has this weird way with words and weird way of turning a phrase. Weird way of, like, twisting grammar that, it's not the same as Layne Staley did back in Alice in Chains, but what it reminds me of, just because they both, in different ways, did that, had ways of just, like, saying things that not quite the right way, but in their own way. I don't know. It's like they have their own sort of way of parsing sentences that is just cool. So yeah, that album, I gave it many, many tries. Never really sunk in, though. But like I said, fucking shit, it is windy. I'm trying to cover the mic. I hope this works. Yeah, upon re-listening, it's really not that bad of an album. But then after that, they put out Wolf in Wolf's Clothing, and I think it's 2006. And this is when I finally didn't buy the CD. I remember I was in New York at the time, and yeah, the Virgin Megastore was just full of it. It was everywhere, which is cool. Cool that an independently released band, you know, can get that kind of shelf space. And again, I didn't listen to this one like I used to in the olden days. I didn't just devour it and listen to it a million zillion times. But I liked it. I thought it was better than War on Errorism. Well, let me say, yeah, with War on Errorism, like on the cover, it was George Bush's face painted up like a clown. They used to do a song all the time in those days live called Idiot Son of an Asshole. Which is funny, but I think Fat Mike's kind of political stuff, it just went too far. It kind of got tiresome. Because, I mean, I'm from Canada. I don't care about George fucking Bush, you know? I'm sorry he fucked up your whole country and the whole world. I just don't really give a shit. And I'm just waiting to see how long it'll be before you guys all hate Barack Obama. Just give it time. What the fuck was I talking about? So, yeah, and that's when Fat Mike, he started the Rock Against Bush compilations, and it's like, Bush, 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 Bush. Wah, wah, wah. Jesus fucking Christ. Oh, no, everything's awful because of this one guy. Like, I don't fucking care, all right? I don't give a shit. So I'm glad you changed the whole world with your music, Fat Mike, but come on. Anyway. And it's not that I mind being politically savvy or socially aware. I mean, NoFX always, even back in the very early days, when NoFX was way more of a jokey band, and a lot of Fat Mike's politics were flip-flop back then, because, I mean, let's be fair, it was 20 fucking some years ago. But, like, he did a song called Shut Up Already, which is basically expressing the sentiment I just said of, like, let's stop hearing about all this horse shit, I don't care. And he had a song called Vegetarian Mumbo Jumbo, even though, as I understand it, he later became a vegetarian. Which I'm not ribbing him for. Again, he was young. He grew up. It's different. And, yeah, I mean, a lot of the songs I've been playing today are kind of, they're more cerebral kind of tunes, if you could call them that. And, like, The Decline, one of my favorite songs ever. That whole thing is very charged of, like, wake up everybody, you know, let's pay attention to what's going on. But somehow when it's just so direct and so focused on George fucking W. Bush, I just don't care. I don't know, that just seems like it's not going to stand up to the test of time. That's a wasted effort. Although I should point out, it is cool that, I mean, everybody got on that bandwagon, but if you think back, like, people didn't hate George Bush at first. You remember that Dixie Chick shit? They criticized the Republican government, and everyone fucking tarred and fucking feathered them. Well, Fat Mike was on the bandwagon of hating Bush even earlier than that. He did not waver, so I'll give him points for that. Because, yeah, everybody was in love with George Faggot Bush, you know? And then everyone hated him. It's like, wah, 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 America, get your fucking fat heads out of your giant asses. Alright, enough of my pointless belittling of an entire country. So, Wolf in Wolf's Clothing See, again, I mean, we're following the same kind of, the same line of thinking. Because that song is about America. We are wolves in wolves' clothing. We're not even trying to pretend that we're not fucking your shit up. But it's just better. You know, it's not George Bush painted like a clown, you know? It's not so obvious that it's just tiresome. So I liked Wolf in Wolf's Clothing a lot better. And again, like, I didn't listen to it a pile, but it's a really good album. So what do we got here? I'm going to play 60%. That's about how much of a fuck they give, which I like. And this little tiny 35-second song called Instant Crassic that cracks me up.
I'm not here to entertain you. I'm here to meet my friend the Russian, the Irish, the German, the Colombian. I don't care how bad I fuck up. I care about how fucked up I get. Not your clown, I'm your dealer, and I'm holding three bundles of bullshit, and you're buying them cause you are addicted to the pure and totally uncut. I'm not here to amuse you, I'm here to amuse my body. Something makeup wearing pop star. This one goes out to all our fans all over the world. Without you, it would just be us. So I just wanna say thank you. We fucking love you, Modesto. Fuck you! And you're taking it easy before the show, so you won't lose your voice and disappoint your fans' routine. You don't care about the children. Know them, all you know is their money.
So I just bought a little, like, you can get from these little street vendors here, like chicken over rice. And it's delicious. In a lot of ways, these little street vendors, for some weird reason, I like better than a lot of the restaurants in New York. I've been disappointed by the food in New York. I'm sure if you got $1 million to spend, you know, to go to fancy five stars, it's fucking fantastic. But for the day-to-day working schlub, I liked Vancouver a lot better. Which I realize is not exactly a unique opinion on my part, but it's true. I don't know, New York food, it's got a weird blandness to it. I think maybe it's just that there's so many fucking people here and they're just shipping in so much shit that the quality level is not so high. But I've heard people say the opposite. People are like, man, don't you love New York fucking food? No, I don't. Especially, I mean, I don't like buying groceries. It's a pain in the fucking ass. I'd way rather just go grab something while I'm walking around. And it's just tough to do around here. It was way easier in fucking Vancouver. It was cheap, convenient. You could just walk around while you eat. And delicious. Fucking windy. Holy fuck. I apologize if this show is windy sounding. I hope it's not too bad. Anyway, why I was flapping about that is the guy who was working there. Holy shit, fuck you, wind. I'm like walking backwards. Hold on, I'll get back to this. Oh, I had to stop and put on some gloves, man. That was fucking murdering me, that wind. So yeah, as far as my alternative career path thing I was talking about earlier. So maybe I don't want to go through all the work to be a lawyer, to slave away at that kind of high-level profession. But I don't want to be that guy either. It's always that same guy working in that thing. And he just spends all day scooping out rice and scooping out chicken and putting it in a little carton and then putting it in a bag and then taking out a knife and fork and a fucking napkin and putting it all in. And every day, all day. Now, he's a pretty young guy, so whatever. Everybody does that shit. But yeah, I mean, I don't want to do that shit either. That's not my alternative life. I did that enough, man, out in Vancouver. Holy fuck, tons of menial jobs. And it's just like, I don't want to go back to that. That's why this year in New York, I don't have a work visa. I can't get a job legally. But I didn't try in any way to get a job anyway. I mean, you know, that saying, man who can't find work ain't looking hard enough. But I wasn't looking. I don't want to work a shitty job. Even though I blew through all my savings and actually had to borrow some money to stay here in New York a little longer. It just doesn't bother me as much. I just don't feel like it's worth it. It's not worth my life anymore to work jobs like that. It's not worth the time. So I need to find some way to fucking scramble up just a little further. Just enough to monetize what I enjoy doing in some way. Which is the tricky part. Alright, so this song is called Leaving Jesus Land. And, like when I played Lower, I was saying that this song also kind of resonates with me. Not in the same way Lower does, but I like the song because it's just like, it's just such a nice, forceful, forward fuck you. And it's just about how middle America is full of prejudiced, bigoted fucking idiots and like, if you want a real life, you move to either coast. You move to the east, you move to the west, but you don't stay in the middle. You leave fucking Jesus land, because those people are fucking, you know, just unenlightened fucking big fat religious idiots. And I just like the direct fuck you of this song, while still being clever, you know? Because really, I mean, I'm sure maybe you have... See, I mean, I got a lot of problems with New York. I'd probably have a lot of problems with L.A. too, but you really can't deny the basic sentiment here. I mean, this is painting with a broad stroke, but fuck it, just listen to the song, okay? I don't need to goddamn explain it. Oh, and then I'm going to play 60% the reprise that ends off the album. A nice little return to finish off that sentiment also.
We call the heartland, not very smart land. IQs are very low, but threat levels are high. They got a mandate, they don't want mandates. They got so many hates of people to despise. In the dust bowl, cerebral black hole. The average weight is well over 200 pounds. I hate to generalize, but have you seen the thighs? Most haven't seen their genitalia in a while.
We're gonna burn.
You know, I would like to point out that one of the lines in that song is, people with open-minded philosophies grow on California trees. But who just voted against gay marriage, huh? I think that was fucking California, if I remember right. And I also like in that song, that's a good example of one of their guitarists, Eric Melvin. He does those yelling background vocals. Well, they used to be background vocals. They called it the Mal Yell. And he's really, like, in a lot of songs on that new album. That's how they build it on their website. It's like, new NoFX album, now with 40% more Mal Yell. And that's one thing me and Matt always thought, is like, man, Eric Melvin rules. I love the way that guy sings. Even though he's just kind of yelling, it's fucking great. I love it. All right, here's the other half of 60%.
We're the band with our own label. That's money under the table. That's answering to no one. Still bands just love to hate us, talking shit behind us, but smiling to our face. That's okay, it's not that they don't like us, they're just a little jealous, cause we're having more fun. We're the self-crowned kings of canter, sultans of slander, bastions of DIY. Which means we make more money, we've got better prescriptions, we almost are on music, no one's got hands in our pockets. We don't have management, we get to play loaded, and only 3 months a year. Some years we just take off, vacations are a write-off, and so is going out. I suppose that's how we'll go out, played out, and way after.
Alright, my battery's almost dead on my fucking camera, and my laundry's almost dried, so I think it's time to fucking bring this show to a close. There is a brief guided tour of NoFX from 1996 to 2007, this will be. A little bit before that. I was saying how sometimes Fat Mike's recent political activismness, his deeper resolutions, can get a little tiresome, or did briefly for that one album, but sometimes it's great. They just put out this new live album. They had a live album called I Heard They Suck Live, and then like 13 years later, they just put out a new one called Man, They've Gotten Even Worse Live, and it's pretty awesome. And these are the first two songs from that album that are kind of politically charged or whatever. Not jokey songs, not swimming in a sea of poo, swimming in a sea of pee, hiking up a fucking mountain of poo, all that. Side of NoFX. Did that seem weird how I was just talking? It's because a guy was just walking past me, and I felt weird that I was talking to myself, and it made me fuck up and say the wrong words. Anyway, one of these songs is called You're Wrong, and this was one that originally was a nice little acoustic ditty, and they rock it up for this version, but it's just great. It's just like, if you think this, you're wrong. You think that, you're wrong. I like that shit. And then just to finish off the show, because I kept referencing that song, Dinosaurs Will Die, and then decided not to play it, even though this is a podcast with no fucking rules and infinite length. So after these two live songs, I'll finish off this whole shebang with Dinosaurs Will Die from Pump Up the Valium. Thanks for joining me on this fucking road down NoFX Lane, walking drive type journey. All right, enough of my babbling. Here it is.
Ah, shit, time to go to work.
Oh, you again?
Yeah. I know.
It's really nice to play a city a few nights in a row. The only thing that sucks is there's always two guys that come to every show. Now, let me tell you this. We're recording a live record tonight, if you didn't know.
Yeah!
happened for three nights. And the first night, me and Eric played. We had a couple drinks. That was it. It was bad. The second night, we got really drunk. Tonight, no, we're fucked tonight. No. I don't speak well at all right now. And this is going to be the best show. I guarantee it.
You speak as well as our president.
Anyway, we wrote this song. It's supposed to be... There's no words. It's called Intro.
No words.
Fucking Fernet Branca got spilled. The guy took my whole fucking drink out. It's not like Fernet Branca is a popular drink.
Yeah, who was the idiot that got up there and spilled your shit? Who did it? What are you from, the East Bay? Come on, man, this is San Francisco.
Anyway, this next song, it's for all the Christians, Jewish people, Muslims, and Buddhists out there, because you're all fucked. And if you do believe in God, you're wrong.
You're wrong about virtues of Christianity. And you're wrong if you agree with Sean Hannity. If you think that pride is about nationality, you're fucking wrong. You're wrong if you imprison people turning tricks. And you're wrong about trickle-down economics. If you think that punk rock doesn't mix with politics, totally wrong. You're wrong for hating queers and eating skiers. If you kill by the thrill of the hunt, you're wrong.
different consequence. Fuck you, you're wrong. You're wrong, fight a jihad. You're blind faith in God. Your religions are all fuck. You're wrong about drug use when it's not abuse. I hope you never reproduce. You're kidding.
Chords were wrong, that's right. That was the first part in the series of taking an old slow song and making it real fast.
The only kids that want to hear My Vagina are like 15 years old and low.
15 years old and low.
Than that number.
You know, some people have a way with words and others have not way.
Kick back, watch it crumble. See the drowning, watch it fall. I feel just terrible about it. That's sarcasm. Let it burn. Burn it low, when I find the fire, I'm gonna raise my glass above my heart. There's so much sound. That's what they get. All the end, I'm in it right. All kids want me, I'm the H1. When it all, yeah, when you go. Don't we all know? We're the star that we're supposed to be. Music written from devotion, not ambition, not for fame. Zero people are exploited, there are no tricks. We're busting! Never fight against Mark Appeal, gonna kill seven records, he'll make records that are more than one good song. Dinosaurs will slowly die, don't you believe no one will cry? Just fucking glad they're gonna be dead and watch it fall. Here's your empty ticket. 3 feet in the red tar. Stink shined out of the... Feel badly, you are sadly mistaken. Your time has come for evolution. Fuck illusion. Kill the fun. When we're having the energy, when we're having the deal, no one would break. What happened to intent? We're stealing it, always one. Playing music just because a million reasons why.